We are back with another edition of Wildcat Wednesday on the Bear Down Podcast. On this episode, we will hear from Arizona Track and Field's Zach Eckstein, Arizona triathlete Lydia Russell, and Arizona basketball's Motieva Krivas. After taking silver at the Outdoor Track and Field NCAA Championships in the men's 110-meter hurdles, Zach Eckstein now boasts the title of Arizona's fastest hurdler. We'll learn more about that record-breaking performance from the All-American himself now. Welcome to Wildcat Wednesday, the fastest 110-meter hurdler in Arizona track and field history. Zach, have you gotten used to that title yet?
No, not really, but it feels pretty good for sure to be able to say that. Yeah, it's pretty crazy, isn't it? Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, no, it's amazing, and that's obviously what we want to talk about today, your program record, the second place finish at NCAAs. But I think in order to get the full picture, I want to just start with your track and field journey and story. When did you first start competing in track and field?
Yeah, I didn't really start competing in track till I was in high school, and I didn't really start taking it seriously till my junior year. We got a new track coach at my high school, and he was like, yeah, you're pretty good, man. You need to focus on this and really try. And you know, him believing in me. And then from there, I just learned how to hurdle. And we didn't really have a junior year because of COVID. So it was really just like one season for me in high school, my senior year, where I was able to try and go out there and do something. And so it all kind of happened really fast. I feel like even when I got here, I was still so new to the sport and I had so much to learn. And I think that that's part of the reason why you've seen this growth for me in the last 4 years is just, you know, kind of reaching where I've always been able to get to and just hitting my stride, I guess.
Yeah, did you play any other sports growing up?
Yeah, I was a football guy, but a lot of injuries and a lot of, you know how football is. And so, yeah, I was just football and track, and then eventually it just became track, so, yeah.
And did you do any other events or any other field events or anything like that, or was it straight to hurdles?
I've always been a hurdler. I'm not one to do a lot of events. If anyone that knows me knows, I'm good doing my little 110s and going home for me, for sure.
When was it, or was there a moment that you realized, okay, I really love this and I might have a future doing this in college?
Yeah, so when I was talking about my old high school coach, Cliff McKenzie, he was a very respected coach, really great athlete back in his day. And he told me one day, he's like, I know you like football, but he's like, your future's here and you just need to, he's like, you may not see it yet, but you know, your future's here. And I realized just practicing and training every day how much I loved it, and just it never felt like a job or a chore. To even when you're dying running 200s, it's like, this is what I want to do. So it's just always, it feels right when I'm on the track. It feels like I'm at peace, and it's like therapy for me, honestly.
And you ended up walking on to Arizona your freshman year, but I'm sure you had other offers or other options too. What was it about the U of A, and what led up to that decision to come here?
I didn't really have a lot of offers coming into high school, to be honest, and I really wanted to stay in Arizona. And when I talked to Coach Harvey, and he was like, he's like, you'll have a spot, and he's like, you'll have the opportunity to earn money real fast if you run fast, and that's all I needed. So I got a little bit of academic money, and I was like, all right, we could do 1 year paying, and then I'm gonna get that bread once I get on the track and they could see me. It was what I wanted to be, and my high school coach is like, if you want to be the best in the country, you go to see Coach Harvey in Arizona. And I was like, all right, I'm sold. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, can you talk a little bit more about your relationship with Coach Harvey? I know he was a big reason you came here and a big reason for your development and just progress.
Yeah. Coach Harvey he's definitely something else. I never met anyone like him in my life. From a technical standpoint, obviously everyone knows how good of a coach he is. And you know, if you look at my freshman year versus now, how much my hurdle form has changed, that's all him, and him just guiding me and telling me what to do. But what I really love about Coach Harvey is cares about us as people before us as athletes. And when we run bad, it's never like a, oh, you suck thing. You know, I hear a lot of things like that from other programs, and it's like how coaches get mad at you and you're not performing. But Coach Harvey's always very understanding. He understands, you know, life's more in track, and he just wants us to be the best human beings we can before the best athletes we can. And I think that culture that he's created, not just in our hurdle crew but on the whole team, it's just created a family more than the team. And I love Coach Harvey, and you know, I'll be his athlete for the rest of my life. That's what I'll say.
I love that. And then momentum really started building for you in the indoor season. You broke the 60-meter hurdles record back to back to back this winter. What did your training in the off season look like that propelled you to have so much success this winter?
Yeah, so I think this is my first healthy indoor season. So a lot of injuries and just things these last 3 years, and coming off the outdoor, I felt like I finally I was figuring it out, and I was like, man, we just got to go to work. And so over the summer, I just worked myself to death and was in the gym every day, was on the track. And then by the time we got to fall, I felt like I was in the best shape of my life, just really focusing on, you know, eating healthy, sleeping right. And just then we got into fall training, and it was apparent that I was ready to go, and just trusting myself. And I knew that once I got on the track that I could do it. And you know, I didn't really know how fast I could run indoor because I've only run like 3 races. And he's like, you can break the school record. No, and I was like, oh, really? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, let's go do it then. So yeah, but that momentum indoor really fueled me for outdoor, especially because indoor I missed going to nationals by like one spot. And that was the fuel I needed. And I knew that they weren't going to leave me off the spot for outdoor for sure.
What did that transition look like going from 60 meters to then 110 meters?
Yeah, I mean, we go do 10 hurdle practices and things like that. Harvey always says running at 110 is like running at 200. So it's definitely like going from running a 100 to a 200, if that makes sense. So you definitely still have all the speed training and things to do for the 60. But it was really just working on that hurdle endurance at the end and trying to make sure we don't get tired. A lot of it with the 110s is you just got to run the race, because you can replicate it as close as you want, but you know, running the race is the only way you're really gonna, you know, get in shape for it and know how it really feels when you're going over those 42s for 100 meters. So,
outdoor season was highlighted by podium finishes, program records, and then qualifying for NCAAs. But all leading up to NCAAs, what was your favorite moment?
Yeah, I would say when I ran 13:17, it was wind aided, so it technically wasn't the record. But I think that was the moment where I realized, I was like, oh crap, like we're moving now. And it was really cool, and that was on senior night. So I'm technically a senior, but I got one more year. So it was cool because I was able to celebrate with all the people I came in with. And that was just a really fun night. And running fast is it's a pretty good feeling. So that 13:17 for sure was definitely that biggest highlight of the regular season.
Flash forward to just this past weekend in Eugene, your semifinal race, I know you hit a couple hurdles. What were some of the adjustments you made going into the next finals race, and what was kind of your mindset?
Yeah, it was just my trailer. I didn't get it over in time. Like my groin and my hip were pretty tight. You know, when you get this far into the season, you're going to have things like that. And so we just focused. I got it needled right after the race, focused on making sure it was loose, added a few things to the warm-up to make sure the hips were all good. And with just knowing that if I got over the first hurdle fast and went clean, that, you know, it was going to be a good race. But yeah, it was definitely, that was the adjustment, just making sure the hips were good. You know, I'm a pretty big guy, so getting these hips going takes a while sometimes. But yeah, once we did that, I knew that clean race and, you know, I'd be on that podium for sure. Especially because in that semifinal, I was racing against, you know, one of the fastest guys in the country. And I was like, okay, like you hit two hurdles and you're right there with him. So, you know, you could beat anyone, I guess, is what I was thinking.
And then the finals race, second place, program record. When did you know that you broke the program record?
I knew when I looked up at the scoreboard and I saw that he ran 13:05, the guy ahead of me, and I was like, I wasn't that far behind him. I was like, oh, shoot. And the 13:13 popped up, and I was just, it was a feeling of, like, happiness, and I was also, like, very relieved because, you know, a lot of stress going into that race, and it was just, like, felt like I was just exhausted for, like, the rest of the day because – but I was really happy and just wanted to go see Coach and all my teammates. It was a pretty cool moment for sure.
Yeah, who was the first person you hugged after the race?
It was Coach Harvey because I was walking into like the little team tent, not team tent, but like the little media area. And I hear my name, I look up, and he's like at the top of the stairs. And he starts running down the stairs. I've never seen Coach Harvey move like that. I was like, dang, Coach, you still got it. And then, but it was him. He was the first person I saw after. And it was a great moment for sure. Never seen a move like that. It was crazy.
What did he tell you, and what did you tell him?
I was just like, oh, we. I was like, we did it, and he was like, I told you, man. And then, yeah, that was kind of it. And then I don't even remember after that. I kind of blacked out, but that's, I remember that for sure. That was like the first thing I said.
And your time also qualifies you for some international races this summer. What are your summer plans, track and field related, and then also personal?
Yeah, so me and Harvey are talking right now about the meets we're going to run throughout the summer. We haven't really fully fleshed that out, but definitely just trying to make sure we're good for U.S. trials at the end of July. Make a go for that world championship team. It's going to be a hard one. It's a tall task, but it's what excites me is the idea of doing something that seems kind of close to impossible at times. Because if you asked me 2 years ago, if I would have got second at national, I'd been like, no. So, you know, we're just going to fight for that team and see what we can do. Personally, I'm just going to be chilling here in Tucson. I got a little internship I'm doing. So, you know, we're going to stay busy and, you know, just keep training and training at night, though, because you know how it is. It's like 105 right now. But, yeah, we're just going to keep working and go into next year and try and do better next year and definitely try and make that world championships team.
Nice. We'll be cheering you on, and best of luck in your training and everything this summer. Zach, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Lydia Russell tied a bow on her time with Arizona Triathlon with the team's national championship this past fall. However, the medals keep coming for Russell, who has now turned pro after graduating in May. Lydia, thank you for joining us today and taking the time to talk with us. I know you are super busy right now. Where exactly are you at right now?
I'm currently in Washington, D.C., visiting one of my friends from high school.
Oh, fun. So a little personal time amidst all your competitions.
Yeah.
Good, good. So what does your summer look like June, July, and August? Where all are you going to be, and what competitions will you be competing in?
So I'm headed back to Tucson on Saturday, and then I'll be there pretty much like the rest of June, all of July, and then August. So I'll just be training during that. That's like my little mid-season training block. And then in August, I have like a potential race I'm trying to get invited to. So TBD on that. And then I'm racing 70.3 Louisville, Kentucky, will be my next thing on August 17th.
Awesome. Okay. And then I also saw you're currently an intern with Feisty. How did you get connected with them?
That was a few years ago. I had been like listening to their podcasts, and then I found out my mom worked with the sister of one of the podcast hosts. So I got her email through the sister and like emailed them, and she put me in touch with the CEO. And so that was in the beginning of 2023. So it's been a little while now.
Nice. What all do you do with them? What does being an intern look like for you?
I kind of do really anything that they need. Like it can be like I've edited podcasts before. I'm not currently editing one right now. I do the like quality assurance, listening to podcasts. I upload their menopause podcast YouTube. I do social media graphics. Like I do a triathlon kind of like race roundup each week. I like upload videos between like different platforms. Like we're moving, they do courses for like moving them to different platforms. So really just anything.
Awesome. Yeah. I saw on your social media, you do like a day in the life before your event or stuff like that. So that's always fun to watch.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the big reason we wanted to have you on the podcast today is that you are fresh off winning the Happy Valley Half Ironman. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What was going through your mind as you crossed the finish line first?
It was kind of surreal. Like I was running and the woman who was second is a former world champion at the full distance. So she's like a really big deal. So I'm like just running. I'm like thinking what is happening? How is this happening? And I was like scared that I had done something wrong. Like the officials, like there's officials on motorcycles near you. And I was kind of like asking them, I was like, I'm good, right? Like, I was like, I don't have like a penalty I need to take, or like I went the right way. And he's like, yeah, you're good. I'm like, okay. So then I was running in. It was kind of funny because it was raining. So I'm like smoothing down my eyebrows, and I'm like need to make sure like I don't look like a fool crossing this finish line.
Yeah, I saw on your post, you posted several photos from it, and you said and shouted out how it was an honor to be sharing the podium with two just very well-known triathletes. Who are some triathletes that you've looked up to as you've grown up and grown in the sport?
Oh gosh. I mean, honestly, like everyone I'm racing against now, it's so surreal. Like I like, I'm talking to these people and I'm like, how is this my life? Like, how am I like on a like first name basis with these people, like texting them? Like it's so crazy. But Paula Finley is a big one. She actually like sponsors me, her and her husband, through their little like triathlon brand called That Triathlon Life. That's been a super fun relationship to build up. Chelsea Sodaro, who is in that race, Tamara Jewett, who is also in that race, just like some really big names who I've been following for a while.
That's so cool. Yeah. So going back to the very beginning, What came first for you, running, biking, or swimming? What was kind of your first love or interest?
So swimming came first, and I swam from when I was like 5 till 14, and I was like obsessed with it, like literally obsessed. And then I don't know, somewhere the obsession was, I don't know, it wasn't so fun anymore. So I decided to start running. So I ran all of high school, and I like originally went to college to run.
Yeah, you were with New Mexico on their cross country team. And
Yeah.
then after 2 years, you came to Arizona and were a part of the original recruiting class for Arizona Triath.
Right.
So when was that transition from, you mentioned swimming to running? When did you decide, okay, I want to try a triathlon?
That was, I guess, kind of during my sophomore year when I was at New Mexico. It was like my second stress fracture, or like not second in a year, but like kind of I got one fall, and then the next fall got another one. So I was getting into biking, and I had a friend who was doing triathlon. So she kind of like got me into it and like got me connected with the right people.
Gotcha. How'd you get connected with Coach Johnson?
I competed at Under 23 Worlds, which was actually in Abu Dhabi in 2022. So I met him there, and I just like not nothing super like formal, just like talked to him. And then when I stopped working with my first triathlon coach, I was already in Tucson, so I like texted Wes and asked him just like if he could help me out, like while I was figuring out what I was doing. And then he suggested that I join the team.
When you think back to your 2 years here, and your 2 years as a triathlete, how proud are you of the foundation that you and your teammates have built here?
I'm so proud of it. Like, I don't know. I don't even have words for it. Like, it's changed like everything. Like, it's changed a lot of not who I am as a person, but like how I kind of like interact with the world. Like, I'm much more like outgoing and stuff because of that team, and like because of the confidence like they've made me have in myself. And I think like being able to race, like have the race I just had and have the confidence to be like, I can win this, and not be afraid to be on the run course and like pass a world champion and feel like of course I'm like questioning like, oh my God, how is this my life? But I'm also like, yeah, I'm doing this. Like, this is something I'm capable of. Like, that comes from my team and like the confidence that they have in me.
So you mentioned Abu Dhabi. You guys get to travel across the world for these competitions. What's been the coolest place that you've gone?
It's hard to, okay. Like, craziest place I've been is when I went to Uzbekistan by myself.
Wow.
That was wild. I wouldn't say that's like the coolest place I've been. I think probably the coolest, yeah, probably Austria. It's so pretty there.
Very cool. And then I know your teammates or former teammates are all competing right now too. They're all around the US, all around the world. Are there any shout outs you want to make as they're training and competing leading up to this fall and the next triathlon season here with Arizona?
I mean, they're all killing it. It's been really awesome. Like, if you saw Wes's post where he's just like with people winning things left and right. But I think Mia and Ruth, like, they've both been absolutely killing it and kind of like flip-flopping, like, which one of them is like in front of the other one, but just like both of them together doing so well. And I don't know, they're so sweet. Like, I love hanging out with them. They're so funny. So it's really great to see them doing so well. And like, they've both had their own struggles. Like, Ruth was injured, and like Mia had some trouble adapting to the training load. But to see it like, oh, now it's all working and they're doing so well. It's so fun to see. And like, I'm excited for them to come back and hang out with me.
Well, we'll see you around here in Tucson and around campus as you train, but good luck this summer and thank you so much for your time on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was fun.
Next up, we're checking in with the Lithuanian center, Motiejus Krivas, to hear about his return from injury as well as his summer plans. Krivas, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for taking time this morning to hop on.
Thank you. It's an honor.
Okay, so people call you Krivas, people call you Mo. What is your preferred nickname?
At first I was like, I want everyone to call me like my full name, like my first name, Matthias. But now I'm okay with Mo.
No.
Yeah.
Does your family have a nickname they call you, or did you have a nickname growing up that people called you?
No, they just call me by my name. Yeah.
Gotcha. And so you guys have been here in Tucson on campus doing some summer workouts, but you're about to get a break, and I heard you're going home to Lithuania. When was the last time that you got to go home?
Yeah, we're working out with the team now. We still don't have all the guys, but we have decent squad, around 10 guys. So I'll be going home tomorrow, and the last time I've been home was at the end of May last year.
Oh,
okay. So it was a bit of time.
Yeah, that is a good chunk of time. Who's the first person that you want to see?
I just want to see my family, because I haven't seen them since Christmas. So just want to see my family, hang out with them, hang out with my friends, but firstly it's family.
What's the first activity or place you want to do or go?
Firstly, I just want to go to my hometown and just do the regular stuff I used to do. But the first activity, I don't know, maybe go to the beach, relax, just enjoy the good weather back in Lithuania.
Yeah, I looked it up and the weather looks beautiful there this time of year. Can you paint us a picture of what your childhood looked like in the summer? What were some activities you did and what were you doing during the summer there?
During the childhood, mostly I would have a basketball camp. Mostly everything was around basketball, just work out, going to play in the park with friends, hang out with friends, and going to movies, riding bikes, and maybe going to the for vacation for 1 week or two and getting ready for school.
Nice. Did you always play basketball? I know basketball is the biggest sport there, basically, but did you ever play anything else?
No, I remember my first practice was when I was going to the first grade, and since then I haven't played anything else. It was basketball.
Nice. Okay, so as many people know, you are 7'2". When did you hit that height? What age did you stop growing?
I was always tall, growing consistently. I didn't have a growth spurt, so I didn't really hit it, but I think I stopped growing when I was 18, something like that, or 19.
And how long is the plane ride home? How many hours?
This plane ride with all the layovers, because I'll have two layovers, will be around 24 hours. Yeah.
Dang. Okay, so being your height, I assume you have to be kind of strategic of where you're sitting on the plane. What's your preferred seat?
The two of the plane rides, I got the exit row seat, because if it's the longer ride, then it's impossible to sit in regular seat. So unless the plane is empty, but to just be safe, I got emergency seat.
Yeah, my brother's 6'5", so not as tall as you, but I know that's always, he'll pay extra money to try to get an exit row seat or an aisle seat or something. What is the first thing you want to eat when you go home?
Just anything my mom makes. Just the homemade food.
Is there a specific meal that you request the night one, you're like, yes, make this?
It's called šaltibarščiai. It's a national Lithuanian food. It's a beet soup. It's pink, so a lot of people are skeptical about to try it, but it's a real refreshing summer soup, so I'm really looking forward to eating that.
That does sound good. And you literally just came out of the weight room off of the court this morning to come record this podcast. As we talked about in the beginning, you guys are back, summer workouts, and you are back healthy. As many people know, you were sidelined this past season with an injury. How does it feel to be back?
It feels really great. Just being able to practice, just being able to compete, feel the joy on the basketball court, not watch everything from sideline. So it's really great, and I'm really excited for the season.
I know the rehab process was pretty long for you. You spent a lot of hours working with the team's athletic trainer, Justin. What did a week look like for you of rehab and practicing and working your way back on the court?
After the surgery, we were just taking like everything slowly. So for like a month, I was in the boot, and after that, we like started doing some just moving the ankle around, and we started like slowly increasing the load on the foot.
Mm-hmm.
So every week we were like consistent, and I mean, I would just come, lift, do the rehab, and do the exercise, and that's much it.
Obviously, any athlete doesn't want to be sidelined, especially for a season or really any length of time, but you hear so many athletes talk about the perspective that they gain being sidelined, having the sport taken away for a period of time. What did you learn about yourself or maybe the sport of basketball being on the sideline last season?
It really depends on the person. If you want, you can just sit and watch and not learn anything, but
mm-hmm.
if you really think about it, you can like gain a lot of things from being sidelined, getting stronger mentally and not getting frustrated easily. And I just try to like listen to what coaches tell to other guys, what they do wrong, try to see how they respond to like what coaches said, and just learn from that.
What were the emotions as you were cleared and able to take the court again and now practice with this new group that you guys have?
It was really good. I was really looking forward to it. We have a great group. Still we're missing a couple guys, but we had majority of the guys. So it was just really good experience to feel like every guy in the court around and just compete.
Yeah, you guys have a lot of new faces that are going to join the team this upcoming season. And as you mentioned, not everyone is here yet, or Koa, he's off with Coach Lloyd's, but also we would love to hear just a scouting report from your perspective of the new guys. What are some things that have stuck out about this new group?
Of course, all of the guys are really talented, but mm-hmm. the one thing that is like the most important thing in basketball is the effort. And I think all of these guys have like really high effort every day, every practice. We compete at the highest level. So I think it will be a big key for the next season.
No, for sure. I know there's a lot of anticipation building up for this season, and we're excited to get to know the new guys better and see you guys in action. Safe travels back home. Enjoy your time there. Thank you so much for your time today, Montievis.
Thank you.
That does it for this week's episode of Wildcat Wednesday on the Bear Down Podcast. Thanks for listening. Bear Down and go Cats.